All right, good to be back in church on a Sunday night. Some people sent off for camp. This afternoon, some of our staff, and if you're going to junior camp tomorrow, stand up. Can we do that? Oh, yeah. Excellent. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Fantastic. All right, you may be seated. If you saw an adult stand, you know to pray. Praying for little hearts to be touched through the preaching of the Word of God. And, am I on? All right. Praying for some young people maybe to trust Christ. Some great decisions can be made between the ages of 8 and 10 that will forever change the course of their life. Being sensitive to the leading and say, is it too young to commit your life to the Lord at age 8? No, that's the perfect age. And sooner you do that, the better. And so praise the Lord for that. Turn with me tonight to the book of Haggai. If you have a Schofield Bible, it's on page 962 to help you out. HUD, does that help you? Yes, it does. All right. There's two chapters in the book of Haggai. Haggai takes place after Ezra and Nehemiah. They come back and restore some things. So maybe you'll see similar names here. They're contemporaries of each other. After being in captivity for 70 years, as some of the things that the Lord promises here are even more meaningful. You know, politicians make promises, just hoping that you'll hopefully give them a paycheck for another 2, 4, 6 years. Some have no intention of upholding those things, have no intention of following through on those things. Some are good, some are great. And some try with all their might to be people of character, and to which we tip our hat to and appreciate that. We pray for all of our politicians. John F. Kennedy, a long time ago, said this: in the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. John F. Kennedy said, I welcome it. That's a good quote. General George C. Marshall says, we are determined that before the sun sets on this terrible struggle, our flag will recognize throughout the world as a symbol of freedom on one hand and overwhelming force on the other. Praise the Lord for that. December 7, 1941, FDR said, a date that will live in infamy, no matter how long it may take us to overcome the premeditated invasion, the American people, in their righteous might, will win through absolute victory. Strong quotes. Many political, military leaders had made some pretty strong statements in the past. Some were able to follow through, some were not. It's good to open up the Word of God, and when God makes us a promise, when God asks us to do something, we can take him at his word. And strangely enough, in the book of Haggai, there are these little nuggets tucked in there to which are a help and a guide to us. And just four little thoughts out of the book of Haggai tonight. Haggai chapter number 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for a prophet that maybe, although not sure of all the ramifications and all the details of what it was he was actually saying and the great impact long-term that he would say, God, I'm thankful that he said exactly what you told him to. And God, those words are an encouragement to us some couple thousand years later. God, I'm thankful for your promises. I'm thankful that I can hold you to your promises. And God, the same commands and the same desires that you had back in Israel way back then, God, you have for us here today. Lord, I pray you'd help us here. Lord, help us to be attentive. Help us to not just dismiss the service as just another Sunday night, but God, a night that you would speak to our hearts. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If, as a little kid, maybe you did something to this effect. My children liked it when I did it. I didn't do it a lot of times, but I would make a treasure map, a scavenger hunt map. Did it a couple times with the kids. They loved it. I would go out. I'd have them hide in their rooms so they couldn't see where I was going. And I would get them to a spot, and I'd have another spot and another spot and another spot. And, man, they followed that instructions to a T. They would walk or whatever steps I said, or they went to whatever. Man, I wonder if the Lord says, I wish you would approach my word the same way. Sometimes we take the word of God, I don't want to speak for everybody, but sometimes we take the word of God lightly. You know, I was looking at those pictures of people from India that never held the Bible in their hands. Look at the people in Pakistan that have to go to a church at 10 o'clock. Imagine if we said, all right, service tonight is at 10 o'clock because we can't let anybody know. We have a hard time sometimes making it to 10 a.m. I'm not saying I think we should go and run and try and find persecution and all of that, but I do think there's a benefit and a value of our faith costing something. And the book that we hold in our hands, the church that we come to, sometimes we take for granted a little bit because maybe it didn't cost us much. I appreciate the loyalty and the dedication and the commitment to the things of God. But when God tells us in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5, now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I wonder, like my kids so many years ago held that little instruction of what to do, and they held it so serious that if we approach the word of God like that tonight. Last Sunday, I think it was last Sunday that we had maybe 2 weeks ago, graduation. When was graduation? Was that 2 weeks ago? Man, time flies. Unbelievable. A couple weeks ago, and I asked them to seek the Lord in the paths of their life. But that's not just for graduates. That's for each of us. God is saying here, some 2,500 years ago, hey, I want you to do something. I want you to consider your ways. Again, let's remember this. Let's think about this as this group of people has been in captivity for the last 70 years. Say, yeah, that was really awful. That I wish that wouldn't have happened. Yeah, but that happened because they failed to consider the word of God in their life, and it was a punishment to them. God is reminding them, hey, let's not redo that. Hey, let's consider the choices that we make. And sometimes it's helpful to every now and then have a little consequence to our actions to remind us that, hey, there's effects of our choices. And God tells us here, consider your ways. He asked us almost, hey, where are you going? What's your job choice? What is it that you're choosing to do? Where are you going to spend the rest of your life? What is it that is important in those decisions? Same verse, verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says it twice in the same passage. If I'm going to consider my ways, the first thing I need to do is to consider God's ways. Because my ways ought to be on the same path that God has designed for me. So really, when we're considering our ways, we're not even considering our ways. We're considering the Lord's ways. Because we just got to find out what God is doing and get involved in that. What is God's way? Remember, we're told, look at Psalm 37. Do not take your hand out of Haggai. We will not have enough time to find that chapter twice. Some of you just got there, which is fine. That's good. We're all right with it. Where's Eli? Eli, did you like that candy I gave you tonight? Was that good? He spit it out?
No, he liked it. He liked it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He comes up to me, Eli, and he's like, Pastor, can we go to your office? Now, normally most people don't want to come to my office. It's usually conversation, maybe some difficult things are going on in life, and we need to pray, and which I'm great with. I mean, that's what it's there for. But he knows there's a good possibility there might be a treat there. And so I take him up. I'm like, listen, this is all I got. I have licorice hard candy. And he takes it, he looks at me, he goes, is it spicy? I'm like, no. He's like, all right. And he puts it in. I'm like, do you like that? He's like, yeah. Like, he was still trying to process that. I have one in my mouth right now. It's trying to help me to not get rid of that tickle in my throat. But hopefully, I didn't know if he saw it all the way through. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's identifying God's way and getting your way on the same track. Hey, consider your ways tonight. Consider what it is that you're doing, why you're doing what you're doing. Consider which way God is directing you. The prophet, through the power of the word of God and God himself, calls upon the nation of Israel to do that again. Consider your ways. Hey, Christian, I want to remind you that the choices that you make both have a positive and a negative consequences. Think about that. Think about that before you make a final decision. We live in a world that we think we can just hit the reset button and start again. That is not the case. God is merciful and gracious. I'm not saying that he doesn't work with us. But I promise you, if you consider your ways and God's ways first before you make a decision, you'll be all the more pleased. You'll have joy, you'll have peace, because you'll be right doing what God has called you to do. Number one, consider your ways. Number two, look at these words. In Haggai chapter number 1, in verse 13, it says this, then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You can imagine if a nation of Israel, being in captivity for a number of years because of the consequences of their poor decisions concerning not just financial, we're not talking about that, we're talking about the neglect towards the word of God and the commands of God, and God's judgment upon them, to hear this promise renewed again. Oh, that was a blessing to them. I am with you. That indicates to them that there's some comfort there. This is one of the greatest promises God has made to us. I am with you. The promise for, look at John 1:12. Once again, do not leave a marker in. I would leave a marker in that book. John chapter number 1 and verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hey, when you're a child of God, that status never stops. Hudson will always be my son. God makes promises to us. Now, he makes promises that, quite honestly, we can't keep. He has to keep them. He says, I'm going to be faithful to you even if you're not faithful to me. And that was the promise here. He says, I am with you, saith the Lord. Man, that would be good to know if I was the nation of Israel, knowing that I wandered from him and that I was in captivity for a number of years. And now God reestablishes, hey, I just want to remind you that you're still my people. Hey, you wander from the things of God and you think, oh, God doesn't want to have anything to do with me. Not the case. You'll always be His son. You'll always be His child, and He will always be with you, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 28. In verse 20, I want you to see two things that have... Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway. Has that ceased? 2,000 years later, is that still good, Zeke? It is. Even unto the end of the world, has that been reached? No. Both those qualifiers have neither have been reached. Forever and the end of the world. Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, if I ask you, give me a promise of God that comforts you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. We live in a quitting generation. Anything that doesn't go your way, what happens? You quit. That's just how it happens. You have given the Lord, I would dare say, every reason to quit on you, but He has never. Isn't that good? Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4 says, yet now be strong. Again, chapter 1 and verse 13 told us this, I am with you all, I am with you, saith the Lord. And chapter 2 and verse 4, it says this, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Hey, be strong, don't quit. Do the work of God. See, why is he telling them that? Don't they have the law? Don't they have God's instruction? Don't they know what to do? Aren't they already? Why do they need the encouragement? Why do they need the reminder that God is with them? Because they're just like you and I. Every now and then we need a little encouragement, don't we? Every now and then, can I have you two boys up here? Yeah, both, all three of you. Come on up. It's all three of you. Just stand right here. Here. One of you get in the middle. Good. Okay, scoot over. Good. Keep scooting. There. You know what? Isaiah and Ryan, why don't you guys sit down for a second? You felt a lot more comfortable when the two friends were there, right? And so is the Christian life. Isn't it good to have a little encouragement around you? Every now and then, all of a sudden, you're the focal point. I don't like this. Can you guys come back up here? Help Zeke to breathe again. Ah, buddies. A little buffer between me and Pastor Russo. The three of us, I think we can take him. Hey, in the Christian life, it's good that we all need a little encouragement. The Lord encourages the nation here. With this promise, I am with you. Hey, it's good to have friends in the Christian life that come alongside and say, I'll stand with you and I'll help you, encourage you. The ability to communicate far exceeds any other time period ever right now. We have the ability, we're less than 2 months. I don't know the exact, I would have to think it through, but we're less than 2 months away from Africa. I'm going to go to a place where that takes a day and a half to get to, and yet I can message somebody in a second right here. The ability to communicate. There's no lack of ability for one another to communicate and be encouragement to one another along the way. God did this to us when He promised us, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will be with you. To the end of the world, always. He uses those words, indicating to us what a great example for us to be to one another, an encouragement. It's good to be a blessing to one another. It's good to be friendly and kind to one another. That's what these young men need, each other. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your help there. I am with you. God is with us, but hey, can we be encouragement to one another also? I'll be there with you. And even if it was just Zeke standing there alone, isn't it good to know that God is always with us? Once again, we have given the Lord every reason to quit on us. And I'll give you the microphone. You can come up here and you can tell us if God ever gave up on you. He's never. Because that would go against what he said. So here we are in the book of Haggai. A group of people that came back trying to rebuild. And he warns them. He says, hey, I want you to do something. I want you to consider your ways. Think about things before you make a decision. Number two, I just want to remind you, I'm with you. Sometimes in our Christian life, we wander a little bit. We try and stay within the guardrails, but we do wander a little bit. Isn't it good to know that God is always with us? Number three, chapter two. That sounded weird. Point number three, chapter number two of Haggai. In verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Then he says these words. Fear ye not. Consider your ways, I am with you. Fear ye not. 70 times in the Bible does God tell his people not to fear. Why would he have to? Eli, can I use you for a second? Can you come up here for a second? You good? Here, hold on. You come up right here. If you help me, good. I got Tootsie Roll for you. This is payment after. All right, turn this way. Has your parents ever told you ever that they love you? Did they tell you a lot of times? Yeah, they have. They want that to get inside your heart. They want you to know that they love you. And they're going to tell you over and over again. Do you know that? Here, thank you. You can go sit down. Why do you think God tells us to fear not? Why does he tell us 70 times, don't fear? I'll tell you why. Because we have a tendency to fear. God says, don't worry. I'll take care of you. He reminds us in Matthew chapter 10, if he can take care of the sparrows, are you not more valuable? Bible tells us multiple times in the scriptures to fear the Lord. What does that mean? Reverential trust with the hatred of evil. Truly, we have nothing to fear unless we forsake the word of God, unless we forsake the Lord, and unless we forsake his will. Then we're pushing away from the things of God, and we're putting ourselves under our own authority, and we can't protect ourselves nearly like how God can. So I want to remind you here tonight, fear ye not. Again, let's think about the group that he's telling us to. This is a battered and scarred group. A group that has just come out of captivity. Now trying to rebuild. You know what? Sometimes in our life, we've wandered from the things of God, experienced the consequences of sin, battered and scarred by the world, and then come back. And it's so wonderful to find these promises in the Word of God yet again. God reminding us to consider our ways. God reminding us and promising us that He's with us. And God reminding us and promising and encouraging us with these words, "Fear ye not." What a blessing that is. If there was a time period when the nation of Israel would be afraid, it would be at this moment. Yet God, remember when Christ is approaching the storm, walking on water, what does He say to the boat? "Fear not, be not afraid." Why would He tell them that? Because there was a man walking on water in the midst of a storm. That's scary. Why does He tell them that here? Because I bet their heart was fearful. Why does He tell us in the Scriptures over 70 times, "Don't fear"? Because there are circumstances in our life that if we get our eyes off Jesus, we'll live in fear. And we know what that looks like. A life riddled by fear is just ineffective. Lastly, aren't those wonderful words in the preaching message? Lastly. You like that, Isaiah? Is that good? You are a huge help. Thank you very much for your help. Haggai chapter number 2 and verse 23. "And that day saith the Lord." How have you read the book of Haggai? Great. Sure. If you've read through your Bible, maybe you've read it. Maybe, hey, I'm going to read a whole book of the Bible and you're looking through some of the short ones. And if I asked you, what's the book of Haggai about? About a guy that did preaching in the Old Testament. But aren't these great, great little sayings tucked away here? Haggai chapter 2 and verse 23. "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." 1 Peter chapter number 2 reminds us that we are a chosen generation. How many remember kickball? Anybody ever play kickball? How kickball usually works is you take all the kids, you line them up, and you break them up into two teams. Usually two captains, they stand there, and how we do at our place is, do you want to pick first or second? If you get first, you get first pick, but then second gets two picks, and then we kind of snake it back around. So first person, then and then the second person gets second and third, so that's kind of a quick benefit, and then we do two at a time. And there you are, and you're picking your team. The purpose of the team is to win, score more points than the other team. That's why we play games. I mean, sometimes there's participation trophies and things, but I play games to win. And we try hard, we do our best, we give 100%. Bible says you're a chosen generation. Why do you think you're part of the body of Christ? A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're on the team for a purpose. You're part of a chosen generation. Isn't it good to know that God picks us all, though? He wants us all on His team. If we lined up everybody, unfortunately, somewhere down the end, someone's getting picked last. That's an awful feeling. No one likes to be chosen last. But isn't it good to know that God wants us all? He died for all of us. He wants us all on His team, and He's got a spot and a part for all of us. And when we choose Him, He says, "You're something special. I'm going to use you. You're distinct from this world. You have to abide by a different set of standards and principles and practices." For what? To bring praise unto God. There's a section of society that doesn't know that there's a God that loves them. There's a large contingency of people in the United States of America that don't know that God has a purpose and a plan and that there's love for them. That's sad. That's sad. But God tells us, I've called you. I've chosen you. This week, you've probably heard this verse maybe more times than you remember. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Say, why is this possible? Hey, God's got a plan even before you take your first breath. There's a lot of people that don't know that what their purpose and plan is on this world. Say, I have that question. What is it? To bring praise and glory to God. God's chosen you for that purpose. God reminds the nation of Israel, hey, I just want to remind you that you're something special to me. When we were studying through the book of Romans for our Sunday school class, we were looking through all of that. And man, what a neat thing that God isn't done with Israel yet. But yet, in all of the blessings of Israel, he grafts us, Gentiles, church, into that. Praise the Lord. And God's reminding the nation of Israel here. He says, you're still my people. I've chosen you. Hey, church, consider that tonight. You're something special to the Lord. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan for your life. He's called you. The question is for what? Well, I'm here to just hold down a seat, make sure no one takes. That is not it. Nowhere in the scriptures do I just see innocent bystanders in the church or to be busy about serving God. God has chosen you to be distinct from the world. We ought to look different. We ought to act different. We ought to sound different. Our goals ought to be different. Our principles ought to be different. The way we drive ought to be different. The way what we ingest, eat, and drink ought to be different. Everything about us ought to be different. Why? Because the God of heaven is our captain. And he's chosen us. We're part of his team. So here tonight, as we look at these encouraging words from the book of Haggai, consider your ways. Say, I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm doing. How about you ask God himself? Say, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I'm willing to do it. Maybe you want to come and just thank the Lord. God, thank you for that reminder that you're with me. Sometimes I make decisions. Sometimes I feel like I wander off the reservation. Lord, it's good to know that I'm still your child. Maybe tonight you are experiencing maybe some anxiety and fear in your heart. Let us remember God told us 70 times, just like mom and dad, Eli, tell you, that they love you over and over again. God tells us over and over again, fear ye not, because I have chosen you. Let's all stand. If you're between the ages of, hey, Nehemiah, how old are you, bud? How old are you? 6. Can I have him? Mordecai, can you come up here too? I'm just going to call him up here. If you're between the ages of 5 and 12, I just want you to stand up here. Can we do all that? 5 and 12. Including 12. Yeah, how about we get you up here so they can see you? Come on up, come on up. Boy side? No, there's no candy. I have candy over there. What? My favorite got a piece. All right, I know. All right. Look at these beautiful young people. And we look, and some of these bear your last name. And very similarly, would you want them to, as a parent, if you could tell them something, to, hey, think about what you do before you do it. You want to remind them that as parents, we're with them and we want to encourage them. Just too much. Sometimes it's overwhelming. I understand. I feel the same way sometimes, Mordecai. I'm out of here. I'm out. And you want to encourage them to be strong for the Lord and that there's something special. Look at how beautiful these young people are. And we look at that and it makes a heart burst and smile. Do you understand that God looks at you so much even more? As you look at these young people and go, oh, these are our precious children and I would do anything. Do you understand the feeling that God has towards you is similar to this? Consider your ways. I am with you. Fear ye not. I have chosen you. In the same way you want those things for these young people, God so desires it. This isn't just for kids. This is for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for these sweet young people here tonight. God, thank you for blessing our church and filling our seats with children. God, thank you for faithful parents and grandparents that bring them to church each and every week. Lord, I ask you to watch over those that are going to camp this week. I pray for those that maybe can't. God, I pray that you get a hold of their hearts. God, I pray in the same way that we would consider these important thoughts in our own life. Watch over us now, protect us. As we travel home, protect them as they travel to camp tomorrow. Lord, we love them so much. And God, we just look at these little kids and think of all the potential of what you could do with them if they just dedicate their heart and mind to you and how you could just turn the world upside down with these. Lord, I pray that they would consider their ways and consider you in all their decisions. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.